From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Much has been said about the lack of science advice reaching the Trump administration. There's still no director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. That's the person who usually serves as the president's top science advisor. The position of science and technology advisor to the Secretary of State is also vacant, and the EPA says it plans to eliminate the office of the science advisor to that agency's administrator. But it seems that the Trump administration isn't the only one shunning scientific advice. The Secretary General of the UN, Antonio Guterres, has allowed his science advisory panel to lapse. I'm joined now by two members of that panel. Susan Avery is President Emerita of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. In addition to the UN Scientific Advisory Board, she sits on the scientific advisory committees of NOAA, NASA, the National Park Service, and the National Research Council's Global Change Research Program. Susan, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Great to be here.
Also with us is Maria Ivanova. She's an associate professor of conflict resolution, human security, and global governance at UMass Boston's McCormick Graduate School. Maria, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Maria, let's start with you. The Scientific Advisory Board, the UN Scientific Advisory Board, was created in late 2013, early 2014 by then Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. How did that board come about?
The board came about on the recommendation of governments through this high-level panel on global sustainability that former Secretary General Ban Ki-moon had created. And the final outcome of the panel was a report that had several recommendations to the Secretary General. And one of them was to create a chief scientific advisor or a scientific advisory board to the Secretary General of the United Nations. The decision then was to create a board rather than one advisor, because the United Nations is a global body and having one person advise on science was seen as inadequate. Having a very diverse and dynamic scientific advisory board was what Secretary General Ban Ki-moon thought was necessary. To this end, he appointed at that time 13 men and 13 women from various disciplines, various countries, and with various knowledge about science and policy to the Scientific Advisory Board of the Secretary General to the United Nations.
How had the Secretary General gotten scientific advice previous to the creation of this panel?
I honestly don't know. Scientific advice in all governments, there are scientific advisors or scientific advisory groups. But at the United Nations, there is no scientific advisory body to the Secretary General. There are various scientific advisory bodies to the various agencies or to agreements, to conventions, but nothing directly to the Secretary General. So it would have been haphazardly, or there might not have been any scientific advice at all.
A little bit piecemeal, probably.
Yes.
Now, as you mentioned, there was a deliberate effort to make sure this was a diverse body, 13 women, 13 men from a range of different countries and expertise. Susan, with all of that diverse expertise, what are some of the issues that the scientific advisory panel actually took on and you know, reported back to the Secretary General about?
So first of all, I think that probably you should realize that the topics that the Science Advisory Board tackled, some came from the suggestion of Ban Ki-moon himself, the Secretary General. Others came from deliberate discussion of the board. Then also the board did a little bit of a Delphi study to identify grand challenges that could be addressed. So some of the topics included, you know, the data revolution. What does that mean for science? What does that mean for eradicating poverty? And then a lot of the scientific discussions that we had were all aimed at what is the science needed and how could it inform the successful implementation of the goals set by the UN. So the sustainability goals, the Paris Agreement, and then other goals like eradicating poverty and reducing inequities. So all of these were sort of the framework for which our discussions, that enabled our discussions.
I imagine for someone who's a specialist in one area of science, being part of this UN scientific advisory panel, taking on these global issues with this group of experts in all these different areas could actually be a lot of fun.
Oh, it was exhilarating because, you know, I think all of us as scientists, what are we doing? We're always asking questions. We're always querying people. So you can imagine the lively discussions we had around the committee table, but also at lunch and dinner and break, et cetera. So it was, I think, Maria, you would say that it was a dynamic group.
Absolutely.
I'm talking with Susan Avery and Maria Ivanova. They're both members of the UN Scientific Advisory Board, which hasn't been renewed by the current Secretary General, Antonio Guterres. You referred to this final report, which the two of you, Maria and Susan, along with a third colleague, Robert L. Turner, kind of led the drafting of that report in 2016. And it was about the future of science advice to the UN. What was the upshot of that report? What were you thinking the future looked like at that point?
Well, the report built on the work of the entire board, and we summarized the work of the board, but then we envisioned a trajectory for the future that would build on that, and then I engage with these grand challenges. Because one of the most fascinating and dynamic tasks that we received from the Secretary General was to identify the grand challenges for people and planet. So going beyond one particular issue. And so in a sense, we as a scientific advisory board, as this collection of scientists in both the natural and the social sciences, envisioned to be able to assist the United Nations in articulating what those grand challenges are, what are their causes and consequences, and kind of mobilizing public support, but also the policy engagement and the policy imaginations of governments around the world and international organizations to start dealing with those grand challenges. Unfortunately, we have not been able to do so because the board is no longer in existence, at least not operational.
So what happened? You created this report. I mean, it doesn't sound like you thought the future of the panel was in any way in jeopardy. You were planning to address grand challenges. And then Antonio Guterres takes over as Secretary General of the UN. And this panel just kind of dissolves. What happened?
Well, so we did present the report to Ban Ki-moon. He had a meeting with all of us in New York at the UN headquarters, received the report, but then he was out of office. So there was a new Secretary General, and we never heard back from, or never heard from the new Secretary General, from Antonio Guterres, on whether the board was still in operation and what would be expected of us. And there are two important issues here. One is that the recommendation from governments to create a scientific advisory board was to the Secretary General of the United Nations. It was not to Ban Ki-moon.
I mean, kind of looking at that as a continuing position that different people just happened to fill.
Exactly.
Right.
This is a position. Yeah. This was the recommendation was to create an institution within the United Nations that would provide scientific advice to the Secretary General. That meaning that the institution will have various people, those scientists will change, and the secretary generals will also change. That's one important issue. The other important dynamic is that when every new secretary general comes in, they have their own agenda and they envision their own work priorities. And for whatever reason, this scientific advisory board as an institution has not percolated up on the agenda of the new Secretary General. So we have not been formally disbanded, but we have not been continued. So therefore, the scientific advisory board as such, as an institution, has withered. Whether the new Secretary General is creating some new advisory panel or board, we are not aware.
Maria, as someone who studies issues of global governance, do you see this you know, perhaps step, deliberate or otherwise, away from science advice to the UN as part of a larger global trend?
I'm not sure whether this is indeed a deliberate part of a global trend, but it is part of a global trend. As you mentioned in your introduction, we are seeing this at the national level across the world, especially now in the United States, and a trend away from science in the policy world. And this trend is actually quite alarming. It is, imagine dealing with heart disease without knowing what the causes are and without understanding the range of consequences. And then imagine that you have to do that without a team of doctors, but now what is happening is with pharmaceutical companies instead. And that is the trend that we're seeing in this country, and I am wary of seeing that trend also at the global level.
Where do things go from here, specifically for this UN scientific advisory panel? You know, Maria, you've used this word a few times, withering, not officially dissolved or disbanded. What's next?
I see actually a dual trajectory here. One is that nothing happens if this trend continues. The other is that maybe the Secretary General will decide to revive this institution because the institution exists. Of course, the members will be different. Of course, the topics can be different. The focus can be different. But disbanding an institution is not smart. Because it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to create such an institution. If the Secretary General does not have the bandwidth of moving forward with the institution, he could also appoint some of the executive directors or secretary, the directors of other UN institutions, for example, UN Environment or the new director of UNESCO. UNESCO was the secretariat of this scientific advisory board. It is not necessary that that continues to be the case. Perhaps even just putting it out to the international agencies that comprise the United Nations and saying, which of you might be willing to step forward and lead this scientific advisory work and provide a secretariat, a functioning secretariat, with what we noted in our report, with dedicated funding. It is really important not only to have a group of scientists engaged on a voluntary basis, as this board was, but also to have a secretariat that enables the day-to-day operations and the functioning. With a dedicated funding stream that enables then the scientists to reach through their networks and mobilize more scientific work, more research, more engagement, both in terms of science, but also in terms of public engagement.
Maria Ivanova is Associate Professor of Conflict Resolution, Human Security, and Global Governance at UMass Boston. Susan Avery is President Emerita of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. The two are both members of the UN Scientific Advisory Board and have written about the importance of science advice in global policy. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we get up close and personal with climate change in the Arctic. Stay with us.